He says, look at the birds of the air. Why? Well, they neither sow, they don't reap, they don't gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And now a question. Are you, Christian, are you not of more value than they?
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
It's great to have you listening along with us today. Well, get ready for an encouraging study today as Pastor's series from the Epistle of Philippians continues. Let's join Pastor now for today's message, Birds and Flowers.
Philippians chapter 4, we are finally arriving at the last few verses, if you will, of the most joyous letter that Paul the Apostle has ever written. Matter of fact, people call it the Epistle of Joy. But however, when we come to our text this morning, there is a problem. There's a problem that affects you, that affects me, that affects believers and unbelievers, affects every person that walks on this planet. Matter of fact, it is so severe of a problem that during the COVID pandemic, in which we're still in, winding down, I pray, prescription drugs literally skyrocketed. And not only that, suicides increased dramatically. So with all that being said, we're going to look at a major issue that robs a person of the joy that God wants you to have. And that word is worry. It even sounds like a horrible word, doesn't it? Worry. You know? So this morning, we're going to look at God's methods on how to bring a cure for this. So, you know, what I did, I mean, you know, as any pastor normally does today, it uses any form of technology, I wanted to find out what the world, their cure was for worry. I was curious about it. So I Googled, as you know what I'm saying, right? I Googled how to stop worrying. Now, what I'm about to share with you is the advice from people that are highly, highly, highly educated, okay? This is not, any of this is a joke. So this is what some of the world is teaching others if you are an habitual worrier or whatnot. Let me just read it to you. The first one says this. If you worry a lot, it says create a worry period. Very interesting. It says choose a set time and place for worrying. It may be the same every day. In other words, in the living room, say at 5 to 5:20 p.m. And it says, and early enough that it won't make you anxious right before you go to bed. During your worry period, you're allowed to worry. You're allowed to worry about whatever is on your mind. But the rest of the day, however, is a worry-free zone. Number two, write down your worries. If an anxious thought or worry comes into your head during the day, make a brief note of it, and then continue about your day. Remind yourself that you'll have all the time to think about it later, so there's no need to worry about it right now. Also, writing down your thoughts on a pad or piece of paper on your iPhone or your computer is much harder work than simply thinking them, so your worries are more likely to lose their power. I didn't understand a word of that, did you? Number three, this is serious stuff, folks. Okay, number three, go over your worry list during your worry period. If the thoughts you wrote down are still bothering you, allow yourself to worry about them, but only for the amount of time you specified for your worry period. And as you examine your worries in this way, you'll often find it's just easier to develop a more balanced perspective. And if your worries don't seem important anymore, well, you know what? Simply cut down your worry period and enjoy the rest of your day. Now, for you who would love to embrace that, please be my guest. I can assure you that I don't even want to tell you how I feel about that, but I would like to tell you how I feel about God's cure for worry. Amen? So are you in Philippians 4:6? Let's look what God says. He says, be anxious for nothing. Say that with me. Be anxious for nothing. Did you know that that is a command? In the Greek, it's an imperative, if you will. And so this is a 2,000-year-old command that we have broken multiple times. Isn't that right? Come on. Yes. So when you think about this, remember Paul's in prison. He's writing from Rome to the church at Philippi, the first church established, a first Christian church established in Europe. And if you read it in the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, I study it, but I'm certainly not a scholar, it tells me this about the verse. Let me read it again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Be anxious for nothing. So the construction of the Greek in the original languages, it tells me something about the believers at Philippi. They were habitual worriers, evidently, because in the Greek construction, let me just read it. In the Greek construction, it's forbidding a continuing action already habitually going on. So I don't think 100% of them were worrying like that, but the majority were habitual worriers. I pray you're not an habitual worrier. Amen? You remember that phrase? Why don't we just call the Philippians, they were worry warts, okay? You know what a worry wart is, right? It's not just a person who worries. A worry wart, what a word. Say that 10 times. You see what I mean? Is a person who worries needlessly. They just worry on and on and on. So they evidently were just worry warts. And it says, do not be anxious. That word literally means do not be pulled in different directions. Do not be torn apart. And so forth. So, like whenever Jesus was speaking unto Martha and says, oh, Martha, Martha, you're so distracted and troubled about so many things and so worried. See, the word distracted there literally means to be pulled in different directions, and that's exactly what was happening in Martha's life. Remember Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus? So the word anxious means to be pulled in different directions or distracted, but it also means to divide. We get our word, our English word, from the word anxious. We get our word worry, okay? Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, great expositor who's gone home to be with the Lord, listen to what he said about anxious or divided. He says, worry is a mind divided into sections and is not functioning as a whole. That's what worry does. See, remember James 1:8, what does the Bible say? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Why? Your mind is divided. It's not a whole. And remember that worry is mental. Worry has to do with thinking and with thoughts that you have in your mind and the things that you're thinking about. And man, listen, that's tough. It's hard on us. Someone put it this way, and it's an anonymous person. They said this, what worries you masters you, because worry has to do with our thoughts, loved one. So the command, do not worry, and then there's that word. It says, be anxious for nothing. Do you know what that word nothing literally means? Nothing. Hello? Look it up. It means not even one thing. And you may be saying, wait a minute, Paul is not in his right mind. He's writing from a prison cell. You know, he's not, that's right. He has a supernatural mind, doesn't he? He's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but listen to me now. To be anxious for nothing doesn't mean not to care. Amen? It doesn't mean not to, okay, but okay, sarah, sarah. You know, remember that song? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It's not carefree living and just, well, God's going to work it out. That's not what the Bible teaches at all, loved one. So what I want us to do is turn in our Bibles to Matthew's gospel. Hold your place. Don't lose it because we're going to come back. But go to Matthew's gospel, chapter 6, and let's look at verse 25 together, and let's see what our Lord talks about worry. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus says this, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Matthew 6, 25. It's the first gospel, by the way. Now, what is Jesus saying? Well, first of all, Jesus is not saying not to care about your life, not to plan about your life. He's not saying to deny, walk in denial, these circumstances aren't happening or these problems aren't happening. He's not saying that at all. But he is saying this. Jesus is saying to every believer, do not be consumed with the main thing that you're always consumed about, and that is your life. Think about that. Don't worry about your life. Loved one, isn't that, when you think about it, is it difficult? Yes, it is. But Jesus said, hey, don't do that. In other words, don't worry about your spiritual, your emotional makeup, whatever the things that are going on in your life, all of it. And why? Well, number one, you didn't give yourself life. God gave you life. Amen? True life. You have eternal life abiding in you, loved one. So Jesus says, therefore I say to you, this is very important now, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body, what you're going to put on. Now watch. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Verse 26, an incredible verse. Look what Jesus says. He says, create a worry period. Did he say that? What did he say? What's that word? One word. Look. Let's say it together. Look. Are you ready for the greatest counseling on worry in all of the world? Are you ready for this? Look what Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, look what he says. He says, look at the birds. Does that kind of just knock you off your rocker a little bit? Okay, Lord, I am worried sick and you want me to look at a bird? Hello? Do you understand where I'm going? He says, look at the birds of the air. Why? Well, they neither sow, they don't reap, they don't gather in the barns. But listen, does a bird work? Boy, they work. They're busy. Are they always busy? Absolutely. And look what Jesus says. Yet your heavenly Father does what? Feeds them. And now a question. Are you, Christian, are you not of more value than they? So Jesus does something, and it hit me. Actually, beloved one, you know when it hit me? It hit me when I was shaving this morning. You know, that's usually when I get revelation, all right? You know, I don't know why. Who knows why? But it doesn't matter why. But when I started thinking about that, now wait a minute. The world says create a worry period, same time every day. Write down those worries. Jesus said, don't worry, just look at the birds. Do you see how deep that is? No, you don't get it. It says, look, don't worry about your life. Look at the birds. Well, you know, if you step outside, like I have a little bird bath, Rebecca and I do in the backyard. She fills it with water. I sit down. I watch birds come in. They take a bath with my water. They don't pay my water bill. She used to have, you know, those feeders you put the seed in. Yeah, who paid for the seed? I did. They come in and eat it all. You know what I mean? Then they make a mess and all the rest of it. Then the squirrels come in and swing on the feeder. They want it too. You know? And there's birds everywhere, hummingbirds, and there have been the hummingbird wars. And no. Hello? You know, we rescued she did. We have a back porch and all those hummingbird feeders. And guys, you know, if you mow the yard and you come and clean everything up, you always hit your head on them, right? I do. It doesn't matter. That's why I'm kind of weird today. So a hummingbird came and had the honey water, but I don't know what happened, and it flew the wrong way instead of back out, and it hit its head and was unconscious on the ground. Oh, yeah. No CPR. I'm not, you know. So there I was, and Becky picks that little bird up, and honest, she starts rubbing its stomach, you know, I guess giving it, you know, pumping air into it or whatever. And this is true. That hummingbird stands up on her hand and looks at her. And I'm going, this is too weird. It's like, you've heard of the bird man of Alcatraz? She's like the bird woman of Fort Worth, okay? And so you're looking at it, and then the bird flies off. And she walks down the sidewalk. This is honest God truth. And the bird comes back and comes right in her face and just stops and looks at her like, yes, like, thank you. Hello. And then flies away. Jesus said, look at the birds. Man, I have those wax wings that come in, you know, those little red berries on those trees and all that. They come in, and what do? They eat those red berries. They're like a pig. I mean, they just gorge themselves, and you've seen them. They put the little red berry in the beak, and they're bloated, you know, and they pass it to the next little bird. And then finally, they're so drunk, they fall down on the ground. No, really, check it out. It happens all the time. Jesus said, look at those birds. Look at the birds. And I go, okay, well, I've never seen a worried bird. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, do you know a lot about birds? No. That's our problem. We don't know a lot about birds. Jesus, listen to me. Bill, you're kind of weird. No, listen. Jesus said, look at the birds. There's a reason. Jesus always has a reason. Amen? He said, watch them. Be an observer of birds. I don't know anything about birds. That's a sparrow. I got that one. That's a robin. Okay, that's a blue jay. I don't like blue jays. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't say if you liked them. He said, look at them. You know, let me give you some information about birds. Here, a flamingo. Did you know that a flamingo can only eat when its head is upside down? Think about that. See, I've never been a bird person. The largest bird in the world is an ostrich. When it lays an egg, it's nearly 2 pounds. The smallest bird is a hummingbird. And when they lay the egg, it's the size of a little pea. Now, I didn't know this about chickens. Are you ready? A chicken with red earlobes will produce brown eggs. I had no idea, and I used to raise chickens. And a chicken with white earlobes, they produce white eggs. Do you know how high a penguin can jump? You don't look at birds, that's why you don't know. They can jump over 6 feet high. Yeah, oh yeah. Listen to this, the fastest bird on the earth, they can travel when they're reaching their maximum dive, 242 miles an hour, the falcon. Did you know that an albatross can fly asleep? Yeah. And they can fly 25 miles an hour while they're sleeping. See, we don't look at birds. We don't know anything about nature. Jesus said, I want you to look at the birds. How about owls? Owls are really creepy, aren't they? No, the big ones, the big ones. Did you know that an owl cannot move their eyes? They can only move their neck, remember? I had one about this tall. That's the truth. Wingspan about like that. Fly in one evening, land on my fence. And so I was at the screen door. I looked at that. I told Becky, look at this man. Man, huge. And then so I thought, I'll get his attention because I can't see him. It's just has his back to me. So I went, hoo, hoo. And you know, I've never witnessed the owls turn. Yeah, you know what I mean? And those big yellow eyes looked at me. I turned and locked my door. You know what I'm saying? No. So you think about all of those things. You know, I mean, think about the birds. Think about a duck. You ever just think about a duck? Did you know that a duck's quack doesn't echo anywhere and no one knows why? See, we don't know anything. We read what Jesus tells us to do. We're talking about worry. He says, I want you to go look at the birds. Do you know what kind of bird cannot fly? A jailbird. Never mind. All right. Now, where am I? Jesus said, your heavenly Father feeds him. Do you remember what God told Job? In Job 38, 41, God says, you know what? I provide the food for the ravens. I'm the one that takes care of the young ones when they cry. See, God feeds them. Now listen to me. Jesus said, are you not more value than they? Those birds. If our Heavenly Father cares that much for sparrows and robins and all the rest of them, how much more does He care for you, loved one? Amen? There's a beautiful poem by Elizabeth Cheney. It goes like this. It says, it's a children's poem, by the way. It said, said a robin to a sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so, said the sparrow to the robin. I suppose that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. What a great word. Amen. Listen, Jesus says, which of you, in verse 27, by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Think about it. I'm going to worry and I'm going to increase my height by 18 inches. Can you do that? No. Well, Jesus said in Luke's gospel the same about worry. He says, well, if you can't do the least of these things, why are you worried about anything? Amen? Listen, can you lengthen your life? No. But here's the thing. But you can certainly shorten your life by worrying. Worrying is detrimental to the body and to mental health, loved one. So Jesus said, if you can't do those things, so why do you worry about clothing? And here he comes again. He said, look at the birds and look what he does now. This is the greatest counseling ever given on worrying, loved one. He says, consider. Say that word, Consider. You know what that word means? It means to examine thoroughly. It means to learn, to examine thoroughly as to learn wisdom as to what you are looking at. He says, consider or examine thoroughly the lilies. Now we're at flowers. The lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that Solomon, or even Solomon, in all of his glory was not arrayed or clothed like one of these. If you take a lily, see, I don't know a lot about flowers. I don't even know a lot about birds. And I watch Nova all the time, okay? And it's just entertaining to me to see all of God's creation. But Solomon, you go back and study Kings and find out Solomon in all of his glory, how he was arrayed. Look at his ivory throne. Look at his servants and all the things that he had. He said, no, go look at a lily. Solomon wasn't arrayed like that. If you put a lily under a microscope, that flower, the deeper you can penetrate into it, the more perfect it becomes. Isn't that amazing? See, I don't study flowers. I didn't do what Jesus said to do. You know, in my office at home, I have orchids. You know, orchids. Orchids. They're so beautiful. And I don't know one thing about orchids, but Becky puts water in them, okay? And some of them are the most beautiful blue. They don't even look real. And that's what Jesus is saying. We don't do exactly what the Lord says. We read and say, okay, Lord. But no, he says, I want you to look at these flowers. And if you don't know a lot about flowers, then how are you going to know a lot about how to get out of worrying? What month is this? It's May. What happens in May along the Texas highways? The wildflowers, do they come out? Do the blue bonnets, they're everywhere, amen? So all the different varieties and all the different colors and so forth. And guess what? Did they have any part in their design? No, God created them all. Listen, Jesus says, so if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow was thrown into the oven. In other words, if God, our Father, who loves us, who sent His only Son to die for us, our sins, loved one, if God, our Father, cares and gives that kind of attention to a bunch of birds and flowers, will He not, how much? Much more clothe you, O you of little faith. Loved one, listen, that's the key and the problem about worrying. We all worry. I worry sometimes. I have to fight just like you do. You know what I mean? Replace worry with God's word. Amen? So the deal is that little faith, you know, so we believe God to save us, forgive us, and bless us, and all the rest of it. But, you know, it says little faith. Little faith is not enough to face the struggles of life, nor to face worry. See, little faith knows Jesus. But little faith doesn't really trust Jesus. And you know, loved one, worry really eliminates trust in God. Eliminates trust in His grace and His goodness and His provision and His wisdom and His power. Do you understand? That's what worry does. So Jesus says, therefore, in other words, in light of everything that He's just told us, do not worry. Don't let your life be divided, your mind, your heart, your life be torn apart by worrying. And then Jesus does something. He's told us twice now to not worry. Do not worry. But this time He's going to add a word that's very significant. He says, do not worry. And here's the word, saying, speaking. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? What does Jesus mean by that? Jesus is saying, listen, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, amen? But when He says, you know, don't say those things. Don't say what I'm going to eat or how am I going to make it in this life and all the rest of it, or what I'm going to take care of my kids or whatever it might be. And you know why we should not say that? Because when we do, we are believing and speaking a lie against God. Did you know that? God is our provider. He will never let us down, amen?
Well, it's unfortunate we have to interrupt this message for the sake of time, but please don't miss tomorrow's broadcast to hear the remainder of today's message. Amen? Also, we want to thank you for listening today. We pray that you have a blessed day.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.